Question number two tonight. Your chinuch shirim, that's the classes that I gave on raising kids, literally changed our family, exclamation point. All we can say is thank you, exclamation point. We listen to many of your shirim and try to have routines for our three-year-old at bedtime when we discuss her day, sing songs, and give her quality time. Yet after leaving her room, it can take her over 2 hours to fall asleep. She constantly wants more in her bottle or needs her diaper changed or other ideas she thinks of to get us to come back into her room. In other words, we've all experienced this if you raise kids. This child doesn't necessarily need another bottle of milk. This child is trying to get more of mommy and daddy. That's really what the child wants. The child doesn't want to shut down. So is there a way to get her to fall asleep earlier? Is going into her, meaning going into the room, giving into her and teaching her that we will constantly come back into her and preventing her from falling asleep, or does she need the extra attention and we should constantly give into her? Give into her implies that there's a battle taking place here. It's her versus us, and are we going to let her win? Which is a perspective, but it's not necessarily the most productive perspective, and we're going to talk about that. By the way, I mean, it's clear what kid wants to go to sleep. Going to sleep for a child is, it's not death, but it's close to it. It's the end of their day. My granddaughter, a sweet little girl, recently told her father that I'll go to sleep, but then my dream won't come true. So my son-in-law said to her, what do you mean if you go to sleep, your dream won't come true? What's your dream? She said, my dream is that I'll never have to go to sleep. So sweet. That's every child's dream, that we should never have to go to sleep. By the way, people who are immature and never really grow up can become 25 or 30-year-old, 3-year-olds who also don't want to go to sleep, but they have access to drugs. So they do caffeine or they take other stimulants so that they don't have to sleep as much because they don't like sleep either. It's a very mature perspective that sleep is a gift of God. It's also a productive time, but it's productive in a different way. I'm not just talking about how your brain reorganizes and different types of memory are established and you experience recovery during sleep. I'm not talking about that. There are actual spiritual things that go on during sleep. There are things that, types of Torah, that we can't learn during the day. It's too big for us during the day, but we can learn that kind of Torah at night, and Hashem can teach us that Torah at night, if that's really what we want. It's a larger discussion, perhaps not for right now, but sleep is something that mature people value. It's not something that mature people shun. But children shun it, and that's the challenge that these parents are facing. How do we deal with a child who doesn't appreciate how important it is to sleep? And there's no way that you can explain it to her. She's, or he's a little boy or a little girl. They're not at the age where they can appreciate what sleep is. So what do you do? So practically, that's really what you're asking for, practical advice. Bedtime is a gradual process. And there are multiple stages. In the first stage of bedtime, our goal as parents is just to help the child move to the bed. And to do that in a calm and loving fashion, no screaming, no yelling, just to give them a peaceful introduction to the night. And during that stage, you're dealing with a fully alert child. They may be overtired, but they're fully alert. So that is the time when we can do the sorts of activities that you described. In this first stage, we discuss the child's day. If the kid's into it, perhaps you'll sing songs. That was an interesting idea. I don't think I ever sang songs with my kids when they were going to sleep, but that is something that you could do if that helps the child relax. You want to obviously make sure that the diapers are changed already when stage one of this process begins, and the child should already be in their pajamas. And stage one should happen approximately at the same time every single night so that their body gets used to sort of slowing down and getting ready for sleep. If you keep changing the sleep schedule, they stay up late one night, the next day it's going to be very hard for them to go to sleep early. So we want to be as consistent as possible with bedtime. You don't have to be OCD over bedtime, but it should be fairly consistent. There shouldn't be, in this first stage, there shouldn't be distracting noises that are audible from other rooms. If the child you're putting to sleep can hear all the kids playing in the room right next door, or if there's loud noises or banging or music playing they're going to have a hard time going to sleep. It has to be relatively quiet in the child in the child's room. The lights in the room are off in this first stage, and the room is lit with dim ambient lighting. That could be night lights, that could be light coming in through a bathroom door, that could be light coming in from a hallway. The child has to be able to see, so the child's not afraid. But it's a very relaxed environment. If you're one of the parents who uses a white noise machine, it's very, very popular today. I'm not opposed at all. A bunch of my grandkids go to sleep with white noise. That's fine. So this is the stage when you turn on the white noise in this first stage. And it sounds to me like you've got this first stage down perfectly. You're truly giving her quality one-on-one time. And it sounds like your bedtime, therefore, is starting off harmoniously. So all is good. Okay. The second stage is when the child is still awake, but starts to really relax. So during this relaxation stage, we don't converse with the kid as much. If a child asks a question, and you can give a reassuring, very brief response, a word or two, great. If the child tries to engage you in extended conversation, the child's trying to not let go of the day. That's when you say, very lovingly, sweetie, it's time for sleep now. We can talk more in the morning. We'll talk tomorrow. And that's the point where you lay down next to the child. That's one of the most effective ways of putting a child to sleep. Lay down next to them. Or stroke their head or their back. Or just hold their hand. Make them feel very physically secure. This second stage lasts until the child is on the verge of deep sleep. So it starts when the singing songs and the telling stories and the going back over the day ends. That's the beginning, when we stop the really active discussions. The storytelling is all in stage one. Here in stage two, it begins when the storytelling's over. It's time to go to sleep. We pull the covers up over the child, right? The child cuddles into bed. You cuddle next to the child. And it lasts all the way until the child is on the verge of deep sleep. Okay, now, here is the key to stage two. Don't rush the second stage. What I mean, don't rush. Don't have ants in your pants. Don't keep thinking, I got to get out of here. I've got so many other things to do. If the child senses that you're about to leave the room, he won't relax. And then stage two is going to take a lot longer. So in this paradox, if you'll just chill, if you'll just relax, if you'll just lay with the child as if you're going to sleep at the same moment, you can even close your eyes, relax for a few minutes with the child, then the child's going to sense that you're staying put. And he or she will slowly move towards a deep sleep. Okay, how do you know when you're getting towards the end of stage two? The guideline that I used to use with my kids was, I would count slowly to 300 after the child's last movement. So when I thought that the child was like really asleep, I would start counting 1, 2, in my mind, 3, 4. And I would start again each time the child rolled over to her side or moved his head again. When the child hasn't moved at all for 300 seconds, which is only 5 minutes, then I concluded stage two is over, and this child has moved into sleep. I would not move from the child's side until I hit the number 300. So that gave the child, while the child was slipping into deep sleep, the security that I'm there and I'm not going anywhere. And again, if you try to escape a little bit early because you've got so much to do, you're going to end up being there a lot longer. Okay, in stage three, we believe the child is fast asleep. I say we believe because it may or may not be true. The child might not actually be in a deep sleep yet. But the child is certainly limp, quiet, not moving. Okay, then when you think the child is fast asleep, you can very slowly and quietly get up and exit the room. Okay, I'm just going to give you a piece of practical advice. Don't go too far away from the room for another 15, 20 minutes. Because there's still a chance that in that first 15, 20 minutes, the child might wake up. And if they can walk out of the room, they might walk out and start looking for you. And now they're walking around in bright light, and we don't want them walking around in bright light for too long, because that will completely wake them up and restart the process from stage one. So if they're capable of walking out of the room, then we don't want to be too far away. We want to get them back into that room as soon as possible. Again, not screaming, ah, what are you doing up, but just calmly walking them back into bed again and laying down with them again. If the child's in a crib or can't get out of the room, so again, I wouldn't wander too far away, because the longer that the child is screaming for mommy or daddy, then the more awake the child's going to become. So if the child wakes up in that first 15, 20 minutes after you thought the child was asleep, go back in as soon as possible and get them back into sleep. You don't want them to throw a temper tantrum and be standing there screaming. They'll be fully awake again. You'll be all the way back to stage one. As quickly as possible, get in and just help them go from stage two to stage three, like get them back into that stage, but don't lose all the work that you did. Okay, now, of course, it happens. And sometimes the kid screams themselves into being fully awake again, or sometimes they actually make a huge diaper and they need to be changed. Or the kid runs out of the room and is fully awake. And if that happens, so don't get upset. The more relaxed you are, the quicker this will go. As I said before, if the child feels you're rushing to separate from him or her, then he or she's going to take longer to relax and fall back into deep sleep. So give the child the feeling that you're committed to being with them, as if you just had to leave the room for a minute, but now you're back with them again. And then once the child's been deeply asleep for 20 minutes or so, then you're probably in the clear. Then you can probably take care of whatever you need to take care of, right? And of course, that's unless the child's teething, or unless the child has a nightmare, or unless the child makes a giant diaper, or unless the child wakes up for some other unforeseen reason, in which case you're back on duty again. And all that kind of stuff happens. But generally, if you can get the kid into stage three and keep them there for 20 minutes or so, you're probably going to have them out for a few hours. I'll just say that my wife and I assumed that bedtime takes 90 minutes. That allowed us to just relax into it. If you think you're going to pull this off in 20 minutes or 30 minutes or even an hour, you're going to be antsy. You're going to be giving off vibes that you want to get out of there. And then it could take 2 hours or 2.5 hours or however long, because the child has this sense that you're leaving them, which is not going to help the process go faster at all. Okay, I hope that helps. If there's questions, please feel free to jump in.
I hope you liked that answer from Rabbi Kellerman. If you'd like to listen to more questions and answers and ask your own questions, as well as listen to brand new material that Rabbi Kellerman is producing right now, check it out at lawrencekellerman.com. You put in your name and email address, and we'll send you free lectures from all the new material Rabbi Kellerman has been publishing. Let us know if you have any questions. Info at lawrencekellerman.com.